turn to 1 John chapter 5. We're going to finish 1 John today. 1 John chapter 5. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and observe his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is a victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not with the water only, but with the water and with the blood, and is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that bear witness, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and the three are in agreement. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for the witness of God is this, that he has borne witness concerning his Son. The one who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. The one who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the witness that God has borne concerning his Son. And the witness is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is a confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from him. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will for him give life to those who commit sin not leading to death. There is a sin leading to death. I do not say that he should make requests for this. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not leading to death. We know that no one who is born of God sins, but he who is born of God keeps him, and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. We know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding in order that we might know him and who is true, and we are in him who is true and in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is a true God and eternal life. Little children, guard yourselves from idols. Amen. The conclusion of this letter very different from the other letters that we talked about, because most likely, like I said a few days ago, this is probably not necessarily a letter per se that was used like Paul wrote letters. Most likely this was a sermon that was given to the church, and most scholars believe that what happened was that the leaders in Ephesus, because at this time John, his primary role is as an elder of the church there, probably said, hey John, can you write us something and kind of share some thoughts about life and the Christian faith and our brothers. And so he comes up with this epistle, and then he'll write a couple more later on before he gets into this big revelation of the book of Revelation. And so that's why there's no, like, you know, kiss this person and greet this person. It's almost like, okay, amen. In conclusion, all right, keep away from idols. And he finishes off the letter that way. So that's just some of the evidence for a different way of looking at 1 John. Now, when we get to chapter 5, the first thing he talks about the new birth. This is something that John himself would have made mention of Nicodemus. And he continues on this theme of being born again. What does it mean to be born again? This was a concept that was, in this time, very, very revolutionary. And even in our own time, actually, this word born again started to be used around the 1970s. And so it was, even though it was a biblical concept, there was this idea became very popular during this time. And the idea of born again actually came out of the Jesus movement. And people will talk about the Christian life more so because the Christianity at that time became very, I don't use the word boring, but became very regimented. There wasn't that much life. And so now it's almost like they had to take it up a whole nother degree, the church did, to describe the kind of faith that they felt like God was calling them to, a New Testament kind of faith. And so they started using this word born again. In other words, that your life was totally transformed. into the likeness of Christ. That it wasn't just you were going to church and you wore nice clothes and all these things. The Jesus movement came in and just rocked everyone's brain, because the church was kind of the establishment. And now you had all these hippies, these drug addicts, products of the 70s, that whole love power movement, anti-Vietnam and all these kind of things. And now they're coming in droves. And the one act that became the sign of being born again was baptism. And so if you read books hear stories during that time, they would baptize thousands of people at the beach. Just crazy, like hippies and people all over would be the natural overflow of freedom and power and these kind of things, love power, and they would start flocking into the church. I actually have friends of mine that are actually products of the Jesus movement. They're much older than I am, but they were teenagers then. Used to do pot and all these kind of things, and heard the message of Christ and became born again. The simple idea that John begins to refer to. Now, this is quite prevalent in my mind because, that we're actually doing a baptism at the beach today for Michelle and her mom. And so, I'm kind of got my brain thinking about this more and more. And so he says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, is the word Christ, is the word Messiah, is born of God. In other words, there's a new birth that happens here, the idea of being born again. And we'll connect this later on to a couple other verses. But he says very simply, how can you know? So there's an inward proof of being born again or of this new birth. The inward proof is that you believe in God. And so you believe in God, guess what? You're born again. There's an inward reality that's coming because of your belief, but then there's also an outward manifestation of being born again. And it says, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and observe His commandments. And so there's an outward sign, really, of an inward regeneration. And this is not so much for us to say, oh, is this person saved? Is this not person saved? We honestly, as an individual, unless you have a gift of discerning of spirits or something, most of us will be a bit clueless. And so even for me, I'm very reluctant to judge someone's salvation. But the Bible tells us, you'll always know them by their fruit. You'll always know them by their fruit. Right? A good tree does not produce bad fruit. Bad fruit does not come from good trees. Bad trees produce bad fruit, not good fruit. And this is one of the analogies that Jesus uses. And so even though we may not be able to say, well, I don't know if this person is saved or not, I don't think that's the question that we should be addressing. I think it's more like, well, how's the fruit? How does the fruit taste? Is there love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control? Are these things happening, or is the fruit something else entirely? And so I think what Jesus is trying to teach us in the context, and then Paul later on, he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Notice, it's kind of one of my pet peeves, okay? So just follow along with me. Notice the Bible says it's the fruit of the Spirit. It's not the fruits of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. That's basically what it is. All those things are manifestations of love. It's love's kindness, it's love's gentleness, and it's love's temperament. That's basically what it is. So please don't say fruits of the Spirit, because that's unbiblical, okay? Let me throw another one at you, just so, because I'm in an ornery mood this morning, that it's the book of Psalm, right? It's the book of Psalms, but when you do each one, it's Psalm 1. It's not Psalms 1. That's also unbiblical, right? Just so you know, okay? I don't know why I brought that up, but... Yeah, I want our people to be Bible-believing good in that regard. Okay, let's move on. So, inward sign, outward sign. There's an inward regeneration, but there's also an outward display of that. It's not our works. We're not focusing on that kind of stuff, but it just flows out of us. When God changes us, it flows out of us. Now, if nothing is flowing out of you, something is going on. And I would say not a salvation issue, or what the scholars call an issue of soteriology, but it becomes more of an idea of maybe your relationship with God is not exactly what it should be at this time. And I think that's more of a healthier way to look at fruit. If If in your life all that's coming out is anger, bitterness, strife, accusation, all these things, then it's like, oh, maybe the quality of relationship with God is something that you should really look at right now. Maybe it's something that you should really begin to investigate. You know, if you're always thinking of murder in your mind, and you know what I mean, all these kind of things, then I said maybe you need to spend some more time with Jesus, and so you can have His life really begin to embody your life, and a transformation occur in that place. And so inward, okay, and outward. Inward regeneration and outward response is probably a good word. So whoever believes that Jesus Christ is born of God, inward, whoever loves the Father loves a child born of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and observe His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And check this out. This will rock your mind for a moment. And His commandments are not burdensome. The writer of Hebrews talks about that. He says, in fact, you haven't even gotten to the point of shedding blood in battling sin. It's so different than many of our mindset. Look, the commandments of God are not burdensome. In other words, the things that God asks of us, they're easy for us to do. They don't carry this weight of what we think about burden in that regard. It's because if you're born of God, these things should flow out of you. And another clear sign, well, maybe there's something going on with your relationship with the Lord. Yeah, I talk to people about a lot of different things, and I mean there are not many times that you'll get a rebuke session from me. But one of the times is if something is happening, especially relationally, and honestly, these days I'm having to confront a lot of couples that are living together, and when I you'll definitely get a call from me, and you'll come into the office, and it's going to be uncomfortable and all these things, but it's going to be good at the end of the day. But when you know the whole idea is when a lot of these people come in and they start talking, we start sharing, and it's like, oh, it's this feeling like, oh, that's so burdensome. Why does God tell us not to do that? They look so bogged down and so defeated. And I have to read, hey, the commandments of God are not burdensome, man. Right? It's easy. Just don't do it. I mean, it's go find another apartment. You know, I mean, what is money everything? You're going to sell your name just for money? I mean, give me a break. And then when you start thinking in that context, oh, actually, it's not that bad of a deal. And it's amazing. And I'll sit there and I said, hey, listen, I'm going to pray for you. And I'm going to ask God to open a door for you right now that you can find a place, free or cheap. And then within weeks, man, boom, it happens. And it's not even like that they had to like search high and low. It just happens. Because they realize, oh, God, maybe what you're asking me to do is not such a bad idea. It's not bogging me down. But how many of us, we feel like, and when we're challenged by something, in some sin or some act of righteousness, and we feel so bogged down, like suffocated in some way. Well, that's not the gospel. He says the commandments of God are not burdensome. If they are burdensome, right, then maybe going back again to the inward thing, maybe the quality of your life with God needs to change in some way. Maybe you need to have a better idea of what the scriptures speak to us about, because it just seems so overwhelming. I'll tell you this, how does this context really work in the world? There are probably people that you're ministering to right now. Hopefully you have a group of people that you're always witnessing to, that you're always a witness, always sharing Christ. And out of that group of people, I probably half, a little bit more, they're not coming to the Lord because they think His commands are burdensome. They feel like, oh, you know what? I want to live my life right now. I want to enjoy. I believe in the truth of what you're saying, but later on, after I've lived a full life and partied and did what I can, then I'll come to Jesus. And it's a simple idea because they bought the lie that His commands are so burdensome that life for them cannot be lived in God, especially the contrary to what Jesus says in John. It says, I came that you might have life and have it abundantly, have it overflowing in your life. And so, okay, that's enough of that. Let's continue on a bit. For this is love, for that we keep his commandments, not burdensome. Verse 4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is a victory that has overcome the world. What is it? It's our faith. This is the victory of God. We know that when we are born of God. Now, again, remember a couple of chapters before, we talked about present reality and future reality, and that's how John was framing the argument that he was saying that, in other words, no one who's a follower of God will sin. And whatnot. He's talking about a future reality that comes, and this is also one of those future realities. And he who is the one who overcomes the world, but he who believes that Jesus. Oh, I'm sorry. Where I go? Verse 4. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is a victory that has overcome the world. Our faith is somewhat a present and future reality that goes there. All right, let's move on a little bit. Let's go to verse 10. The one who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. The one who does not believe God has made him a liar because he has not believed in the witness that God has born concerning his Son. And the witness is this. Some of you guys should be very familiar with this passage. Right, and this is the testimony, more like the NIV starts. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. Who does not have the Son of God does not have life. It's a very, very simple statement. Now, I know that the GIC book uses 11 and 12 for the idea of the assurance of salvation. I want to suggest to you that they should add verse 13 on there. But then it would probably have been too difficult for people to memorize three verses, but they should have done it. Verse 13 says, these things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God in order that you may know that you have eternal life. This is assurance of salvation. This is huge, huge a thing. This is the simple idea, the simple grace that if you believe in God, then you are eternally secured. Can you imagine? There are belief systems in the world, even as Catholics, there is no assurance of salvation because they need to go and have communion every day, the Eucharist, and it's this constant working through that. But in the Protestant faith, in evangelical Protestant faith, I have to make these claimers all the time because everything's getting so liberal. In evangelical Protestant faith, that you believe in God, you have assurance of salvation. You have eternal life. You have promised and guaranteed that, and it's through faith. The seal by which we can understand, right, the simple thing, verse end of 13, if you believe in the name of the Son of God in order that you may know that you have eternal life. And John is basically saying, this is one of the reasons why I wrote this letter to you, why I gave you this sermon. So that you can know that you believe in God, you have eternal life. You know, it's the authority of God's word that you can be saved and you can know it. Can you imagine a life being lived? And the sad thing is, there's a lot of evangelical Protestants, believers, that still live this life without assurance of salvation. And so they commit sin, and so it becomes so overwhelming. And I know this because, you know, every once in a while we'll do an altar call at church, and it'll be the same people raising their hand. And I'll be up there and say, hey, didn't you raise your hand last month? You know, actually, didn't you raise your hand last year? How can this be? Surely. And you realize that they actually don't have assurance of salvation in their life. But it's on the authority of God's word. You can be saved and you can know it. We know that your faith in God really is the assurance of salvation. He who believes in the Son has eternal life. We just read right there. He who believes in the Son has eternal life. You can know, there's a few things you can understand very easily here and be assured of. Number one, you can be assured of that you're a child of God. The Bible is very clear. Let's go back, 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now we are children of God, and has not appeared as yet what we shall be. We know that when he appears, we shall be like him, just as we shall see him, just as he is. He tells right off, you are a child of God. Every person sitting in this room, you can know that you are a child of God. If you really begin to understand the ramifications of what that means, it'll change your life. Also, you can understand that you've been created, you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Not only are you his child, but he's also made you righteous through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's 2 Corinthians 5:21. Also, you can look at Romans chapter 10, verse 1 and 4. You also recognize 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us that you are a new creation. It's a creature, a new creation. That the old has passed and the new has come. And when you come before the Lord, you are brand spanking new. Isn't that amazing? I like new things. It's just something about new stuff. It's really nice. It gets old quick, but it's something about new. It's wonderful. And you get to be new when you trust Jesus. The last one, you can know that you are now a son and the heir of God. Galatians 4:7. Right? Not you gain by inheritance. We're not slaves. We're not servants. We're sons and daughters. That changes us. Right? There's an assurance of God. And how do you know that? It's the word of God. Jesus tells us himself in Matthew 24:35. It says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. It's the assurance of the word of God, the infallibility of his word that says you are saved, and you are saved eternally. You can have assurance of salvation. You can go around this world knowing, understanding who you are. Now, I'll give you this illustration. It's not a perfect illustration, but it'll help us a little bit. You know, since my wife is sitting in the front row here, you know, Lisa and I, when we were kind of dating, or I should say, we were dating, and she didn't know we were dating. You know how those situations come sometimes, and whatnot. And then if she was nice to me, then I felt like $1 million. I felt great. But then when she was dismissive or mean, which she was a lot of times, you know, at times. And then when, you know, different things happen, then you kind of like, you know, like you kind of lose your identity in some way and you get down and depressed and whatnot. And so you live like a roller coaster. You know how that's like when you start off a relationship with someone, and that's why you want to seal the deal. You want to have that DTR, like, are we dating or not, you know, kind of thing. And it's basically for our assurance in that regard. Now, imagine our relationship with God, and there's many of us that are operating like that. When things are going well, we feel like, oh, yeah, God loves us and everything. And when things are not going well, we feel like, oh, I don't know. And your emotions just go up and down when God wants us to know that if you believe in the Son, you have eternal life. In other words, your fate is sealed in God. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. But you know, can you imagine living that life with God, the most important person in our life, and not having that assurance? And if you have a bad day in the Lord, or if you're hyper-religious, you miss your quiet time, all of a sudden, oh man, I lost my salvation, you know, or all these different kinds of things. And you'd be surprised how pertinent these thoughts run in people's minds. Because the enemy prowls around like a roaring lion seeking those to devour. And that's the primary thing that he wants. He wants us to get out of stability. Because if we're not stable, guess what? We can't fight. If we don't have our feet firmly, you know, fit to the ground and balanced, guess what? We're going to get pummeled. You know, and that's exactly what the enemy wants us to do. And so it's important for us to recognize, man, I'm a saved, new creation, child of God. And nothing is going to change that. Not my sin, committing the same sin over and over and over again. Nothing is going to change that. There's an assurance there. And obviously, with the inward regeneration, there's an outward manifestation. And again, I think if you constantly commit the same sin over again, you didn't lose your salvation, but I think the quality of relation with God can be improved somewhat. That would be my explanation to people in that regard. And so it's important for us to recognize, man, I've written to you these things, that who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that you may know that you have eternal life. You have eternal security. You don't have to go up and down in your relationship with God. It is set, it is firm, it is sealed. I tell you, that for me in my life, that was one of the greatest truths. Actually, when I did Growing in Christ, back in the days, and I didn't take a class, I actually just went to the bookstore and I found this book, and I started doing the lessons on my own. And it was that first lesson as a young Christian. I realized that I have assurance of salvation, and that changed everything. It's like I became a new person. In other words, there's nothing that I can do, this reality, there's nothing that I can do that will change my relationship with God, that will change this eternal security. Now, that didn't propel me to sin more. That actually propelled me to be more thankful. It propelled me to be more righteous in a way. It was a response now and things. And it's important for us to really nail this down, that you either believe in God's word or you don't. That's really what it counts to. It's not really about your emotions. It's either you believe what God says or you don't believe what God says and then suffer the consequences. God says if you believe in the Son of God, you will have eternal life, or you have eternal life. And not adding anything to that picture whatsoever. You don't need to get baptized. You don't need to go to church. You don't need to do good deeds. In the sense that we're talking about salvation, you don't need to do any of these things. Now, you want to do those things because it's a response of God in our lives, and that would clarify and give a good picture of what it's like. But in all honesty, you don't have to do any of these things. It's all of grace. And it's about time that we live that grace out in our lives. There's more stuff, but I totally ran out of time. So let's close our eyes as we wrap up. We can talk about it a little bit more as we get to 2 John and 3 John. I mean, I want this to be sealed today in your life. Do you know that you know that you know that you know that you're a child of God, forgiven, saved by grace through faith. And now there is nothing that can get in the way of you going to heaven. Did you know that? Did you know that when you believe in the Son, and believe with your whole heart, you trust Him and only Him alone, that you have eternal life? And this life is in His Son. And he who has a Son has the life. I like the NASB is a little better. Has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. It's not life. It's the life. Eternal life. It's the Zoe. So let me just invite you to make sure, I want to make sure that every single person in this room listening in our audience at home, that you have assurance of salvation today because you trusted Jesus Christ. That's all. Not by good works, not by doing baptism, not by anything, but that you trusted Jesus Christ with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul, all of your strength. And if you did, or if you are right now, you have eternal life. Period. That's it. And now we get to spend the rest of our life just responding by thanking Him for that. And as we sing a song, let's focus and pray through that.
Christ in me is to live, to die is to gain. Christ in me is to live, to die is to Christ in me. Christ in me is to live, to die is to gain. Christ in me is to live, to die is to gain. He's my King, He's my song, He's my life, He's my joy, He's my strength, He's my song, He's my peace, He's my Lord. Christ in me is to live, to die is to gain. Christ in me is to live, to die is to gain. He's my King, He's my song, He's my life, He's my joy, He's my strength, He's my sword, He's my peace, He's my Lord, He's my King, He's my song, He's my life, He's my joy, He's my strength, He's my sword, He's my peace, He's my Lord. Christ in me, Christ in me is to live, to die is to gain. Christ in me is to live, to die is to gain.
There's anyone here today and you're doubting or wavering on this issue of the assurance of salvation, if you have trusted Christ with your heart, you are saved, and you are saved eternally. And you need to know that. It's not my words, it's the Word of God. Either you believe the Word of God or you don't. I want you to walk in that newness. All the things that God has prepared for you. You're a child of God. You're a son and daughter of God. You're a new creation. You're made for the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. All made available to you. So let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. Now, for some of you, that's a non-issue. Yeah, you know you're saved. Well, I'll add this question then. How's your fruit? How's your fruit? You have good roots or bad roots? Maybe the quality of your relation with God needs to be changed a little bit. Needs some improving. You spend time with Him in repentance and ask God for genuine help. that the fruit would match this eternal life that's living inside of you. Let's pray together this morning. Let's go to our community prayer focus and let's pray for our friends that have cancer. Let's ask God's hand to be with them. Let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for good reports from doctors as they go for biopsies and other tests and exams. Let's pray Holy Spirit would just comfort them and really just bring them into life. Healing word would flow. Let's lift up our friends. Let's pray for our ones that are sick, that need that word of salvation. They need that assurance of salvation in their life. Let's pray Holy Spirit would breathe upon them for healing of their body and healing of their spirit. Let's pray. Let's pray for our community that's dealing with non-cancer related illnesses and sicknesses. And let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for good recovery from people's surgeries. And let's just ask God to just be with them. Let's pray for our community that are looking for work. Let's ask God to provide and just really be a blessing in their lives. Pray for opportunities. Pray for open doors. Pray for skill and interviews and just favor of God upon them. Let's lift them up. Let's cover our mission focus today. Let's pray for Indonesia. Pray for Pastor Salamat and Fabian Ministry. Pray for the church in Kupang and the mission team that will be going there this summer. Pray for Singapore as we're in the process of planning a church there. Pray for the core group, and God will just continue to bless. It seems like every single week God is adding to their number. It's actually absolutely amazing. And so let's just ask God to just cover the leaders there and just give us wisdom in how we should proceed going forward. Let's pray for Indonesia, pray for Singapore. Let's pray over our education ministries. Pray for Noah's Ark, SP Youth, and the college group. Pray for the leaders and pastors, and the kids would just really grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's cover them and the kids. Let's pray for our families, SP families, and the marriages. Pray for love to flow. Pray for healing if there's any discord in relationships. Pray for unity, restoration. Ask God to protect the families, protect the children, that this would be a really strong ministry, strong point of our church. Let's just cover right now. Let's pray for our house churches that are meeting today, Bel Air, McDaddy, and Robinson family. Let's pray for God's hand to be with them, that there'll be a real incredible time of discussion and just really love just flowing out upon every member, that every person that comes would grow and they would know that they're loved by God and by each other. Let's pray. Let's just cover our weekend before the Lord. Let's pray for our services, our two services. The second service, we're having like 25 pastors from the mainland that'll be here. They just want to observe international church, and so let's ask God to bless them as they come. They would leave, take something away from what God is doing. Pray for our worship, our worship leaders, our hospitality ministries, barista and welcoming. Pray for Noah's Ark and the youth. Pray for outreaches going on this weekend, all the meetings, and of course, the upcoming men's and women's retreats. Let's ask God to just really cover during this time. Let's lift up. And lastly, if I can invite you to pray, myself, Bonnie, Hige, and Annette, and Elise will be going to Beijing. And Beijing is having their first ever retreat. Starts on Monday. We're leaving tomorrow night. Coming back on Thursday. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday is the retreat. There's about 60 Beijingers coming, and I expect God to really move in power. We just cover all the people that are coming, all the logistics and everything, and then God would just really move in power over our church plant. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for that simple promise, God, that if we trust in you, Lord, we put our faith in you, that we will live forever, or that we'll have eternal life, or the eternal security of you as our God. And so we thank you for that. Help us to live in that reality, God. And everything we do is not to earn our salvation, God, because it's not something to be earned, but Lord, that it would be a response, a holy response to what we already have. What you've given to us so freely, God. We thank you, Lord. Watch over us, Lord, the rest of this day. We give this weekend to you and all our activities and our meetings and gatherings. And bless all the leaders, God. Bless all the volunteers. Everyone that comes, they would receive something from you, God, because you're so gracious. Thank you, Lord. Watch over us, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day this weekend. We'll see you tomorrow in our celebration services, and enjoy the rest of your prayer time.